I guess that's a state of mind.
I don't know. But significantly, to me, would think there was a good percentage. And they have quoted in other studies that 30-something percent women are saved from death with these examinations. Interesting. Other thing that this article brings out here in responding to this study is that the study was done outside the United States. You see, it's trying to discredit the study because it was done outside the United States. Guess where it was done, Fawn?
I know where it's done.
Where is it done?
Canada.
It was done in Canada. There's no difference between the United States and Canada. Canada is like a paler shade of the United States. In fact, the Canadian medical system is even more stringent than we are here, and their counterpart to our FDA gets in and does things that our FDA even wouldn't even think of doing. I mean, they're real mean up there.
That's scary.
And so, no, I wouldn't say that they're much different up there. And, you know, and they speak the same language we do, and they eat the same type of food we do. You know, and so I wouldn't say that Canada's much different. But this tries to discredit the study because it was a foreign study. Remember, we said on the program before that the only valid scientific information comes from the United States of America.
That would be better.
Only from American doctors, and only American doctors that are approved by the Food and Drug Administration.
Now, is that being closed-minded?
That's total baloney. Anyway, this article also says that after reviewing these studies, that there's no need to change their opinion that 40 to 49-year-old women should be screened every year. In 1993, the National Cancer Institute stopped recommending that women in their 40s get regular mammograms. Now, so here we've got the National Cancer Institute, which is the taxpayer-funded program in the United States. Okay, this is a government agency. Government agency says, hey, don't give it to women. And let's see, it also says in here that authors of the review of the 13 studies couldn't find any significant evidence either.
Okay. Significant evidence.
Significant evidence either that they really needed this, but it says the study's important message for women is that those 50 to 74 who underwent screening mammography had a 26% reduction in breast cancer deaths compared with women who did not. Okay, so they're saying 26%. And it's only for women over 50 to 74. And this is what they're saying. That yes, they agree with the study, but that women 50 to 74 are the ones that are really going to get saved here. You know. But then they're still saying that women from 40 to 49 should have these mammograms. They're a little mixed up here.
Okay. I'm very confused by this article.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. They said here that routine mammograms yielded an insignificant reduction in breast cancer deaths. The reduction was 7%. Okay, so on and so forth. I don't see where they come up with 7% reduction. That they say that 7% reduction in breast cancer deaths for this younger age, for the younger age group. I don't know where they come up with that.
No.
What else do they say in this article? The article is fairly dumb. Now, insurance companies, okay, the American, as reported in the Journal of American Medical Association, JAMA, they had an article on costs, and that concluded that standard health insurance should not pay for the procedure for women younger than 50 or older than 69, which, if they don't think that they ought to pay for the cost, then they must see that there's no benefit in it. The RAND Corporation estimated that in a health plan covering 500,000 people, would spend $11.9 million over 6 years to give biannual mammographies. How does that say that?
Mm-hmm.
Mammographies. To all 50 to 69-year-old women and would save 11.9 lives per year. Okay, and then in the younger group, they figure that it'll only save 1.1 lives per year, 0 to 1.1 lives per year.
And that's in the age group from 40 to 49.
Yeah, and that would cost $11.7 million. So we're looking at $167,000 per person in the older group, and $1.5 million at the best estimate for, you know, if that many are really dying from it. $1.5 million for the younger age group.
So is it all boiling down to money again?
Boy, it almost seems like it, doesn't it? Well,
but let's get on to this other article. This is the one that...
Yeah. It seems like women are more frightened by breast cancer than any other disease. And one of the reasons for that is because of the American Cancer Society. American Cancer Society deliberately gives out misleading statistics that terrify women. In January of 1991, the ACS published that a woman's odds of getting breast cancer had risen to 1 in 9. This statistic is frequently reported as fact by the lay press, and it's simply not true. I'm sure people out there have heard this, 1 in 9, 1 in 9, you know, women. Okay, let's get the real figures.
Yeah, let's get this.
For women 40 to 49 years old, the risk is about 1 in 1,000. That's a lot different from 1 in 9, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Now, the risk from, this is the highest risk group, 50 to 59, guess what it is there?
1 in 500.
1 in 500. Isn't that amazing? Now, using the American Cancer Society's own statistics, Dr. I. Craig Henderson, a professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco, determined the only women who have a 1 in 9 chance of getting breast cancer are those who are 110 years old.
Good night. We have to be pretty old to get down to that risk, don't we?
You know, I can't understand American Cancer Society.
So why are they using that statement, 1 in 9?
Well, according to Joanne Schellenbach, a spokeswoman for the American Cancer Society, she says that it's only supposed to be a jolt. Many younger women look at 9 of their friends and think, one of us is going to get cancer this year.
So it's supposed to be a metaphor rather than a hard figure?
That's what she says, but they present it as a hard figure.
Okay, so then is it appropriate then for a charitable organization to terrify half the population with a dishonest metaphor just to market a medical test?
I wouldn't think so, no. I wouldn't think so.
I mean, give me a break.
And you know, that's basically why they do it, is to get women to get their regular mammograms. That's the reason that they put that statistic out, is so women will get their mammograms on a yearly basis. And so basically you're right. That's exactly what they're doing, is they're putting out this dishonest statement, and it's totally dishonest. The American Cancer Society is putting out a dishonest statement to scare women into getting mammograms. You know, and if mammograms save lives, it might be justifiable, but I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so at all.
Let's continue.
Okay. Now, this study, this newest study, it's done in November 1992. It concluded in November 1992. What it did was it followed 90,000 women over 7 years. And the 50,000 of those were 40 to 49, and about 40,000 were 50 to 59. So we're looking at a pretty good study of the age groups we're talking about. In fact, it is the most conclusive study that's out there. Now, half of both groups received yearly exams of the breast and mammograms. The other half got a single breast exam if they were 40 to 49, so just one breast exam during that period, or an annual breast exam if they were 50 to 59. So this study was comparing those that had just a breast exam with those that had breast exam and a mammogram. All other studies that have been done that have shown mammograms to be beneficial have been done. Mammograms, those that have received mammograms, compared to those that have done nothing.
Okay.
And so, of course, they're going to have some benefit with a study like that. In the 7 years of follow-up for the young women, 40 to 49, 38 women who had an annual mammogram plus a physical exam of the breast died of breast cancer, compared to 28 deaths in the group given only a single breast exam at the beginning of the study. So women that only got their breast examined once during that time period, 40 years to 49 years, there were 28 deaths. But in women that had all the tests, all the mammograms every year, there were 38 deaths.
That's interesting.
That's a 36% higher rate for women that have mammograms. So we could conclude, they don't conclude this in the study, but we could conclude that mammograms cause cancer. But there's a lot of things that we have to look at there. We can make that statement, but that might not be totally the case. What it could indicate is that by detecting more tumors or more problems, that would open up the case of having more increased surgical biopsies and more procedures done.
And if we have a lot more procedures done, then why don't we see a reduction in the death rate? I mean, if all these activities going on, if we go and we have all these mammograms and as a result of those, we have twice as much cancer diagnosed, twice as many surgical procedures like open biopsies, needle biopsies, benign biopsies, I mean, a slight increase of the use of mastectomy. If all this is happening, why don't we see a reduction in the death rate?
That's a good point. You know, Dr. Mendelsohn brought that out, 12, 14 years ago. 14 years ago, that, you know, the earlier period, when he was talking about, okay, he went back in history, back to the 30s, and saw the increase in detection of cancer, but still back then, there was no reduction in the death rate. Now, isn't that what we're after, is a reduction in the death rate from breast cancer?
That's what I thought, but mammograms don't reduce cancer, they just detect it.
Yeah, even though President Clinton says that it was preventive medicine, is it?
It's not preventive medicine.
It's not medicine at all. It's detection. By President Clinton saying that to get a mammogram every year, you know, for women 40 and over, is preventive medicine. That's like saying, what did it say in the article?
It's like saying watering your lawn will prevent car accidents.
It has no relationship. It is not preventative medicine. It's detection. And the detection is increasing. They're finding more cancer, but not getting rid of any more.
That's true.
So they're discovering more and putting a lot of women those herbs have phytosterols that will convert very easily to hormones. And so the body can make hormones out of these herbs. And all those herbs are contained in a formula that Dr. Christopher has called Changes. And that can be picked up at either the herb shop at 160 South State in Orem or the herb shop at 188 South Main in Springville. So, yeah, there are a number of things we can do. Vine ripe and organically grown produce is one of your best ways.
That's right. And let me take just a little break here, because last week we had somebody ask about how to have organic fertilizers and sprays for the garden so we can have our fresh organically grown fruits and vegetables. And we were given by a friend of ours, Bob Bird in Springville, a catalog called Gardens Alive. And you can write to this company, and they have natural sprays and things that you can do to free your garden of pests and weeds and other things. It's called Gardens Alive. The address is 5100 Schenley, that's S-C-H-E-N-L-E-Y, Place. The city is Lawrenceburg, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. And the zip is 47025. And their phone number is 812-537-8650. And that's Garden Alive. You can write to them or call them and ask for their catalog. And it's got a lot of neat things in it. I'm going to be ordering from this company right away.
It's interesting that you brought this up, you know, as far as organic pesticides are concerned, because there has been accusations out there that pesticides, you know, herbicides, these types of things contribute to breast cancer and every other kind of cancer. Victor Herbert, one of the leading proponents for the medical profession.
I can't believe you said that name.
Yeah.
Victor Herbert.
Anyway, he's out there in the news all the time, you know, Mr. Quackbuster. But he puts down in his writings that pesticides, herbicides, preservatives, additives in foods and things have anything to do with cancer at all. He says that's totally false. And then the Food and Drug Administration kind of has those same ideas. You know, but Victor Herbert warns against good foods. You know, in fact, it's interesting that this so-called nutritionist, medical doctor, lawyer, Victor Herbert, in his writings, claims that a hamburger is the perfect example of good nutrition because it includes the four basic food groups. At any rate, that isn't good nutrition.
Well, he needs to get off the four basic food groups and go to a pyramid.
Well, even a pyramid isn't...
it's not the best, but it's...
The pyramid they originally came up with
was better.
But not the current one. Anyway, let's go back to the phone lines.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, I would like to have you address the question of lithium and when it's necessary that it be introduced to someone if they have a lack of it in their system. And I'll hang up and ask that you talk about that for 2 minutes.
All right, thanks for your call. I don't think there has been any definitive studies showing a true test for a lack of lithium. Or a need of the body for large amounts of lithium, and that's exactly what's given. When we're talking lithium, we're not talking supplements. We're talking flooding the brain with lithium to try to achieve a deadening of brain cells, and that's basically what it's for. And so when would we recommend using lithium? Never. Okay. Lithium is a procedure invented for and behalf of psychiatrists. You know, it's just something that they can do so it looks like they're doing something. And basically, it doesn't do much more than just sticking a scalpel in there and destroying brain cells. Basically, you're going to get a flattening of emotions. And, you know, if that's what you're after, I guess that's what lithium's going to do. But flattening of emotions, I mean, do you think we were put here on the earth to just drug ourselves up? Or are we put here on earth to gain from our experiences and to improve ourselves? But just to drug ourselves and be emotionally flat and not have to deal with our problems, I don't think that's the purpose of life. So, no, as far as I'm concerned, I would never use lithium. I never want to use it with anybody I know. I think that's a terrible procedure. And it keeps coming back, you know, in history. You know, they stop using it because it's so toxic, and then they find out the things that they're using in place of it are more toxic than it, so they go back to lithium, and it's back and forth and back and forth. Lithium is never a good idea, and still isn't. Yeah. Let's go back to phone lines.
Good morning. You are on the air.
Am I on the next one?
Yes. You might want to turn your radio down so we can hear you.
Okay. Alexa.
We're getting too much interference with your radio feedback.
Okay, you had a lecture a few weeks ago about comfrey and marshmallow root,
uh-huh.
And I wanted to ask, how do you soak it, how long, what is the time factor, and can it be steamed, or it should not be done? I cannot find anything in any book about this root, how they should be treated.
Okay.
All
right, we'll go ahead and talk about that. Thank you very much.
We won't keep that call on because, hey, gee.
The interference was
so strong. So I guess the question was, how do you use comfrey root and marshmallow root? And we're probably dealing with broken bones or
varicosity
or something like that. And the way we would do that is we'd just get our comfrey root and marshmallow root, and we would simmer it on the stove for, say, 20 minutes, and then go ahead and strain it off, and we can utilize it like that. We could concentrate it, you know, and after we've strained it off, put it back on the stove and let it cook down until it's about one-fourth of what it originally was for a stronger preparation. And then what we would do is take cotton cloth, dip in that, and then put it over the area that we're dealing with. That's how comfrey root and marshmallow root would be used in those instances. You could also take the actual herbs and soak them in water and let them just get rehydrated, and then you could actually put those herbs on the area. That's called a poultice. As far as internal usage is concerned, for a break, comfrey root might be okay. It's really high in the pyrolyzing alkaloids, but as we've discussed before, that might not be so bad in a case of a break. We wouldn't want to use comfrey root a lot if there wasn't a real problem that we're dealing with. That's a very strong herb that should be reserved for emergency situations. However, comfrey herb, we could utilize any time, you know, take it internally, the plant itself. And so comfrey, very, very good. And those two herbs would be very good in that particular situation. We probably ought to talk about our sponsors, or we may not have any sponsors.
Well, the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 188 South Main, or 160 South State in Orem, and the Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville, both carry a product called Vital Herbs. And you know, David, it's really interesting. Last week at our local classes here in Springville and also in Salt Lake, we had Diane Bjornson come. Wonderful midwife in the area.
And a good teacher.
Oh, she is an excellent teacher and has a lot of good information for all of us. But she came, and as we were discussing what to do during pregnancy, how to help alleviate morning sickness and other problems during pregnancy and things during birth, two people, one in each class, this was so remarkable, I couldn't believe it, each person raised their hand and said, you know, we were experiencing severe morning sickness, and taking Vital Herbs cut that right out. Just the morning sickness left within several days. And I thought, that is wonderful. And what was so exciting was that one person in Springville said that, and then the next night we had somebody in Salt Lake say the same thing.
Almost the exact same thing. They didn't even know each other.
It was amazing. And I was really excited about that. The Vital Herb combination that the Herb Shop has put out, Diane, as she goes through her lecture, she says, these things are important for a woman's diet while she is pregnant. And every one of the things she said is in the Vital Herbs. It's amazing.
I think this kind of shows that morning sickness isn't a curse from God, you know, for women.
Really?
That it's actually created by things we're doing. And if we're not getting the nutrients we need, then this is how the body ends up. The pregnancy doesn't have to involve morning sickness. If we get those nutrients up, then we don't have to deal with that situation.
It almost makes me think I ought to try this again so I can experiment with it, but I don't know if I can. Anyway, do we have any more phone callers?
I'm sure we do. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning. I have two questions. I've heard a lot about something called chlorine or silver.
colloidal silver.
Uh-huh. And also, I wondered about the value you might place on Manchurian tea, something that you put together with vinegar and light brown sugar, and you let it... no, it's not vinegar. It's light brown sugar and black tea bag, black tea.
Yeah, we're familiar with the procedure.
Okay. If you would hang up and let you comment on these two things and tell me what you think about them.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Thanks.
We've talked about colloidal silver before on the program.
Well, we didn't really mention colloidal silver, I don't think.
Well,
I think we talked about distilled minerals, but I don't think we particularly
said... We didn't come right out and say colloidal silver, but we were alluding to it, if anybody caught on.
Yeah, so at any rate, as far as colloidal silver is concerned, yes, it works. You know, if you did an experiment and put silver, colloidal silver, or any kind of silver, just a silver coin in a Petri dish, and exposed bacteria to it, you would kill the bacteria. That's a given. Silver kills bacteria. We've known that for a long time. Some mountain men will take silver coins in a canteen, and water that they suspect might have Giardia or something in, they'll have the silver coins in their canteen, put the water in there, and shake it, and let it be in there for a day. And then they'll drink that water and claim there's no problem. So silver kills bacteria, kills organisms. That, there's no doubt about it. Silver does that. And I don't care if you grind it up and make it so fine that you can't detect it anymore and dilute it and get it in a liquid solution. It's going to work. Silver kills bacteria. But, you know, antibiotics kill bacteria, too. And we've already found out that antibiotic therapy only weakens the immune system. So if you go in and kill bacteria... You're totally disregarding why the bacteria is there in the first place. So, yes, you went in there and killed it, and I'm sure you went and did it to find out, but it's going to come right back again because you haven't cleared up the condition that allowed bacteria to be there in the first place. And so you can go and take colloidal silver all your life and keep killing bacteria and maybe weaken your immune system and have a problem, just like with antibiotics.
It's not a selective. It doesn't selectively kill certain things either.
They make that claim, but I haven't seen the studies. I've asked for those studies. I've asked these people for those studies. I said, you show me where they've taken the colloidal silver and subjected the friendly flora in the intestines to it, whether it killed it or not. They haven't done those studies. They keep alluding to the fact that, yes, it's selective, but they have not done the studies. If they have, they haven't shown me. So anybody out there that's listening that has those studies, please send them to me. We'll be glad to look at that. But my personal opinion of that particular product is I wouldn't want to do it. I wouldn't say that I would ever do it, you know. I mean, if you're down to a life-death situation and you want to kill bacteria and your body's not handling it, then I'd probably do something like colloidal silver. But to take it as a daily supplement, you know, and guzzle it like has been suggested, that's ridiculous, you know. It isn't a cure-all for everything in the world, even though that's what it's being promoted as. And one thing else that concerns me about that particular product is it has FDA approval. I'm very leery of anything that has FDA approval. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's go on to Manchurian tea.
Okay, Manchurian tea. I think that you probably got some real benefits there. My only problem with it is I don't like black tea, and that is against the word of wisdom. And so I wouldn't really do that. What I'd do is if I was going to make the thing up, I'd probably use just green tea. You know, you don't have to take the bad product of black tea and use that.
And as far as the light brown sugar goes, can't we use something like sugarnut in place of that?
Yeah, you could use something a little better than that. But camellia, which is what they get black tea from, would be the herb we'd want to use. So I'd consider that, but I'd alter my recipe if I was going to use it. And I'm sure it works just great, but I would alter it in that one instance. Let's go back to phone lines.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I've got a question on people that use their voices quite a bit, like Jessica and Joe. They're talking a lot, and they strain their voices. What can you be done?
Fawn thinks I
talk too much. Anyway, what was your question?
And, well, what could be done to help strengthen it and to help, kind of relieve the muscle spasms that may occur because strained muscles in there, things like that.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Thanks for your call. We'd like to keep some people on longer, but the connections haven't been very good this morning. People that use their voice a lot, well, and it's not just their voice, people that use their wrist a lot, people that use any part of their body a lot, are going to strain those areas. And I think one of the reasons that we're not able to handle those situations is because we don't have the building blocks necessary to repair. And maybe we're not giving ourselves enough repair time. Because, you know, the way we do something is we utilize the muscles or the tissues or whatever. We utilize them, and that kind of tears them down in preparation for being built up stronger. And so that rest period and recouping period is necessary. Okay, so we may want to make sure that we have a recouping period, so that the frequency can be less and less as we go along. But right at first we might want to do the exercise and then do everything we can to rest and nourish and recoup and then do it again, and then we can change the frequency so that we could, you know, use that voice all the time and not have a problem. And same thing with those wrists and tennis elbow and all these things. I think it's the building up to, the strengthening by recouping and relaxing. You got to give it some time. But I think that recoup period can be shortened and shortened and shortened so that you can use those muscles all the time. But I think the problem is the reason we don't see that happening is because people don't have the basic nutrients in them to rebuild those cells. They break the cells down, and then they can't build them back up again because they don't have the basic building blocks for doing that. And so a number of different products there at both locations would be beneficial. What I use and I find excellent is, of course, the Vital Herbs. It's got all those nutrients in it, so easily utilized by the body, so easily utilized protein and all the trace minerals and everything. It's a very, very easily assimilated, usable product. Spencer Masterson's Wheatgrass Formula 7 for extra energy besides. Not just the nutrients, but for extra energy besides. And so a lot of fresh juices, a lot of fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, and seeds, those are things we want to do to get those nutrients in to be able to rebuild ourselves. Now, on a localized basis, once the condition is there and we're saying, okay, well, yeah, that's a lifetime of building things up and such, you know, what do I do right now? I think one of the best things we could do is chew slippery elm. They've got slippery elm tablets available. You just chew those down all day long. That won't be a problem. And slippery elm's soothing and healing, and that's something I'd look at. Also, we find that cayenne pepper mixed in honey, coating the throat with that, works very well. So we take like a half teaspoon to a teaspoon of a cayenne and honey mixture and let it coat the throat and do that on an hourly basis, half-hourly basis, and that seems to work very, very well. Brings blood into the area and helps repair those tissue. Those are the things we would do. Marshmallow root tea, that would be really good.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Let's go back to phone lines.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, y'all did a program on morning sickness, and right at the end of the program, you made a comment that kind of piqued my interest. You made a comment about people who drink water and they feel nauseous just from drinking water. Why, if the water itself was not a problem, what would cause that and what could be done to help that situation?
I think maybe the nauseousness happens not because of the water, but because we're already in that weakened condition and just anything is aggravating the situation. In fact, one of the things that's needed to alleviate that problem is water. And it's strange that the body would reject water when that's exactly what it needs. We find that raspberry leaf tea is better accepted by the body, mainly because it's got all of the nutrients from the raspberry leaves in. And so a person might try just some raspberry tea to get the water, the liquids in right at first. And slippery elm seems to be very good with that too.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks for your call. You know, interesting thing about this whole situation, you know, with the drugs and things. Let me just read you a little news item that came out, and we'll get back to the phone calls. FDA issues warning. The FDA recently warned consumers that bromocriptine, marketed under the trade name Parlodel, has a number of serious adverse reactions, including death. The drug made by Sandoz Pharmaceutical Corporation was recommended for lactation suppression. Okay, here we go with this medical system again. They're giving a drug to suppress lactation. You know, hey, don't want to nurse your babies, let's take this drug to suppress lactation. Well, what they found was 30 women had strokes after taking the drug. 9 of those died, and 63 had seizures. You know, if somebody got a sniffle from taking an herb, they take it off the market. But here's a drug that kills 9 women, and they don't take it off the market. They just say, we recommend you don't take it. Way to go, FDA. Rah, rah, rah. Let's go back to phone calls.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to address, when you were talking about colloidal silver and antibiotics, the colloidal silver versus antibiotics is, silver is a natural product, the antibiotics are not.
Well, antibiotics are taken from bread mold, so they're more natural than the colloidal silver.
Now, oh, I could hardly hear you.
Oh, antibiotics are more natural than colloidal silver. They're taken from bread mold.
Antibiotics? They're
sure.
Chemicals, aren't they?
No, no. They're living organisms.
They are?
Yes.
How come you get side effects from antibiotics?
Because they're natural doesn't necessarily mean that they're beneficial. And I wouldn't say that the ingesting silver is a natural thing. I can't think of our history of anyone going out and eating silver.
But
it's never been a natural thing.
But silver is a product of the earth, right?
Yes.
A God-made.
Yes, but we're not earthworms.
No, that's true.
And we've never been designed to eat dirt or rocks.
Well, they have excellent salt that comes out of the ground.
What happens is the plants take up all these minerals and things we need, and then we utilize the minerals from plant life. But we've never been rock eaters. And so to grind silver up and put it in a liquid form isn't natural at all.
So you have something in the health store that would be better than colloidal silver?
Well, the thing is better than colloidal silver, it kills bacteria. You know, what else kills bacteria? Your body's own immune system. And so it's a better thing to stimulate your body into doing the job rather than going in there and doing it for it. Otherwise, you just weaken the body. And besides, garlic is as good as colloidal silver.
Just the regular
fresh garlic
chopped up,
yeah.
Right?
See, and I'm not going to make $40 a bottle on it. You get it free from a grocery store.
Well, not free.
I mean...
The garlic?
No. Well, you get it free if you grow it yourself. You know, get some garlic from the store and plant it and grow your own garlic. And it's free. Hope that helps. Thanks for your call.
Thanks very much.
It looks like we're out of time. I'm sorry we didn't get to the last phone calls. It was a good program. And what makes it good are those calls. And that was a great call about colloidal silver. I'm glad the person called. And all the calls we had. We love to talk about health subjects. Until next week, be happy, have a healthier you. Welcome to A Healthier You. I'm your host, David Christopher, with my co-host, Vaughn. And today, as always, we're going to talk about ways of making you healthier. Good morning, Vaughn.
Good morning, David.
How are we today?
I'm fine. How are you?
It's a beautiful Prozac morning, isn't it?
Oh, David.
See, on a Prozac morning, it doesn't matter whether it's sunny or what, you know, because you just don't care. But we're not even going to talk about Prozac today, one of the most popular drugs in Utah. What we're going to talk about is...
other things.
What people want to talk about, because we're only going to be here a short time today.
We're live today, but because of other obligations on David's part, we've decided to have a half an hour show, and so we'd like to open up the phone lines as quickly as we can. And while we're waiting for you to formulate your questions and get to your phones, we'll do our little bit of advertising and the drawing that we have and have you get ready to ask your questions.
And let's give the phone numbers.
The phone number is 224-1400 if you're local. If you can hear us in Salt Lake at all, that's 570-1400. And we should mention our sponsors right off, the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State and Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. Shall we just take care of a little bit of business and then get into some other things, David?
Yes, we already have callers on the line, so if they'll just hold on for us, we'll get right to them.
Hold on for about 3 minutes while I take care of a little business, and then we'll pick you right up. First of all, I'd like to announce the winning drawers, drawing winners. The drawing
sounds
winners.
Like something you get out of your drawer.
I know, anyway, from the Springville and Orem stores. This week in Orem, J.D. Young is our number one winner. He or she will receive an Herbal Home Healthcare book. They can go into the Orem store and pick that up. Also, the second prize winner of a Cuckoo Crunch product is Kay Schlellenberg. I don't know if I said that right, but you can go in and pick up your Cuckoo
and
Crunch.
Fawn isn't trying to be offensive. She just sometimes doesn't get the names correct.
That's right. In Springville, our first place winner is Elisa, E-L-I-S-S-A. That's all there was on the little ticket that we drew.
She gave the last four numbers of her phone number, not the prefix, but the last four numbers, so she'll know who she is.
Well, okay, let me see if I can find those in here.
Well, and while you're looking for it.
And then, okay, the last four numbers is 5355. And then Jean Law is our second prize winner. Boy, that Law family has been coming in and filling up our box, I think. That we've had them win a lot of things around here.
Good customers.
But she can go in and in the Springville store and pick up a Cougar Crunch product.
It's kind of like that lottery in Illinois where that one little town has been winning the lottery a lot. Well, this family seems to be winning our contest a lot.
They do. Also, we want to just a few more. I'm sorry. I know we've got callers. I've got to hurry and do this. This Wednesday, May 11th, we're going to be having our local class again. We will be doing herbal first aid, herbal bandage preparation, and conversion of recipes. So if you're interested in anything like that, come on out 6:30 at 188 South Main in Springville, and we'll be having our local class.
That's right. Even though it's a series, you can still come in for one class.
That's right. It's only $20 if you come in by yourself. If you want to bring your spouse, it's $25. Real good break.
That's a real deal.
You bet it is. And Wednesday, we're also getting fresh produce in, more good oranges and grapefruit. We also have some apples coming in, green onions. If you're looking for some really good green onions, we've got those coming in. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we're still having demonstrations. Tuesdays at the Springville store, Wednesdays at the Orem store. I'm talking as fast as I can.
We would love to have more produce at both locations, but, you know, people need to buy it more.
That's right.
You know, we need to get more people interested in organically grown food.
Right. We have them putting out samples. If you want to come in and just try the produce, they'll cut one open for you.
They will, yeah. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. I've got something I've been wondering about for a while, and I don't recall you talking about it, and it's dandruff, as far as, you know, what causes it and possible cures and all that.
Okay.
So I'll just listen on the radio then for
you. All right. Thanks for your call. Yeah, dandruff. What does cause dandruff?
Good question.
Theories are that it could be just a lack of circulation in the head area. And so if that's the case, then what we want to do is increase circulation in the head. Things that we could do is like lay on a slant board so that the head's lower than the feet and you get some circulation up there. Jumping on a little trampoline would kind of get circulation up there. Deep breathing exercises where you breathe in for four counts, hold for four counts, let go for four counts, and just keeping that up for a while will oxygenate the system and help carry nutrients and get the lymph system moving. And so those things would help. Also, if there's stagnation in the head, then we'd want to clear it out. So using herbs like Brigham tea. To open up the sinuses and get things going, horseradish to clear out the sinuses. That Sensei product that they have at the herb shop, I love that one. And
as well you should.
Yeah, and you rub that around the eyes, not in the eyes, and you know behind the ears and down the side of the neck, and that tends to open up the head area. I would use the Sensei right on top of the head, too. Just rub it into the scalp and get that circulation going. It's nice and tingly, and you know, some of these popular medications, you know, they talk about tingly heads and things, you know. Maybe one of the reasons that those work might be the circulation they're bringing from giving the tingle. And so taking the Sensei and rubbing it into the scalp would be something we could do. Also, cayenne extract or cayenne tea, rubbing that in. But, boy, be real careful when you shower, because if you don't tip your head back, it's going to run in your eyes and it's going to hurt.
What about Grandpa's pine tar soap? Do you think that would be good?
That's a good possibility, too. And so,
to wash your hair with that?
Yeah. So those are the kind of things that we would probably use.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Do you have any more callers, or shall I?
Why don't we go ahead and talk about some advertising.
Okay.
And then why don't you give the numbers for the station?
Okay, the numbers are 224-1400 if you're local, and if you can hear us in Salt Lake, it's 570-1400, and that's a toll-free call. You can call in and won't be charged on your bill.
And don't wait too long, because we've only got a half-hour program this morning.
That's right. We've only got about a few more minutes. Well, a little more than a few more minutes. Anyway, but one thing we have new at the Springville location is the aerobic rider. I just love this little machine. I've got one in my home, and I really like to use it. But you can, we've sold one or a couple of them, and we are trying to get some more in. And if you're interested in getting one of these aerobic riders from us, we'll give you a little discount. We'll give you $15 off if you go in and say that you heard Fawn say it on the air, today's date, May 7th, 1994, on K-Star, that we'll give you $15 off all the $2.99 price that we have them for.
They'll have to take an order for it, because they are getting them in and they don't have them available. But one thing interesting about that, and we have to apologize to the other stores in the area that are carrying these, but I thought that the price that we had on it was the regular price. But there's been other stores having sales on this item, and that's the sales price, is what our regular price is.
Oh.
So we apologize to other stores, but that will remain our regular price, which is what?
$299.
$299. And that's been the discount price from other stores, so that's going to remain our regular price, just like the Champion Juicer. We sell a lot of those Champion Juicers because we always sell those at what price?
$199.
$199. And that's way below manufacturer list. But the Roebuck Rider, our regular price is $299, and Fawn's just giving you a deal, $15 off of the regular price for us or sales price for other companies.
And if you we'll extend this for this next week. If you come into the Springville store and say you want a Roebuck Rider, you heard us talk about it on the Saturday morning show, then they'll be able to extend that discount to you. Mm. So please come in.
That's right.
Say you heard it on K-Star.
And we ought to talk about Spencer Masterson.
Spencer Masterson, descendant of Bat Masterson, has this wonderful wheatgrass, Formula 7, that we have found that wheatgrass is such a high, exciting product. As a matter of fact, the Orem store sells more wheatgrass than any of the other stores around. And wheatgrass is so good for skin problems, eczema, psoriasis. It improves digestion. It's high in enzymes. It reduces high blood pressure and enhances the capillaries. It removes heavy metals from the body. It helps purify the liver. We're always talking about the liver. This is a good way to help stimulate and start purifying the liver, neutralizes toxins in the body. It improves blood sugar problems. Wheatgrass is just something that we can go on and on and on and on and on about and never finish talking about because there's so many good things about wheatgrass. And Spencer has put Wheatgrass Formula 7 together with 7 other herbs. Sarsaparilla is one of them. I can't remember all the other ones. I don't have his paper in front of me, but he's put these together, and he's got a really dynamite little formula here. A lot of people are using it, along with his maximum metabolizer.
And a lot of people are getting into drinking the wheatgrass juice.
Right. As a matter of fact, we're giving out free samples of free wheatgrass juice with a $10 purchase. So if you've never tried wheatgrass juice and your purchases are over $10, then you'll be able to get a little sample of it and see how well you like it. It's a little different tasting.
Yeah. Our last caller talked about, dandruff. Maybe we ought to go to the other end of the body.
Okay.
Do you know what the most common superficial fungus infection is in the United States?
What is that?
What would you think?
Well, you already told me, so it's no fair to ask me that.
Okay. Well, it's athlete's foot, or also called tinea pedis, or ringworm of the feet. That's the most common superficial fungus infection in the United States.
Hmm.
But you know what? It's uncommon in areas of the world where they don't wear shoes.
Well, that's interesting.
So that would kind of give us a clue as to what the problem is with...
too many plastic shoes, huh?
Yeah, this particular fungus is too many plastic shoes or synthetic shoes. Some of the things that we can do for athlete's foot. A foot bath is a really good idea. I think we've talked about like ginger baths and things, But there's other things that can be done, too. 4 ounces of thyme, just something you can get out of your spice cabinet. People use that for cooking. Anyway, you just take thyme, take 4 ounces of that, and put into a pint of alcohol.
What kind of alcohol?
Ethanol, drinking alcohol. So don't let the bishop see you go into the liquor store to get this.
Okay.
And we shouldn't use rubbing alcohol. It's interesting that the ethanol is a controlled substance, but methanol isn't. And anybody can go down and pick up the methanol. But it's very poisonous, and we'd never want to use methanol, the rubbing alcohol. Especially on an open wound like that, where it's open, and it's going to get into the system, and that can be very damaging. So we wouldn't want to use rubbing alcohol. We don't ever use rubbing alcohol. But
so you need to go down to the liquor store.
Yeah, something like a pint of vodka or something. Isn't that terrible? Like I said, don't let anybody see you go in. Anyway, that's a very good foot bath.
So you put the thyme in the alcohol and make an extract. Is that what you're
that's
doing?
That's right, and then do a foot bath with that. Another thing we could do is golden seal. Of course, golden seal is fairly expensive, but it's a great herb. One of my favorites. I really like golden seal. And you just make a golden seal tea up, and that's almost too expensive to do a foot bath with, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, and so I would probably just apply that afterwards. One of the ways to use that would be to soak the golden seal tea with cotton balls, and then put the cotton balls with the soaked golden seal tea in between the toes.
Hmm.
And then that would help with that situation. So golden seal is a real good one. One that's less expensive than golden seal that we've had some real good success with is black walnut. And so you can do the same thing with that. You make an alcohol extraction with it or just a tea and soak cotton balls with it and put that black walnut between the toes and just leave it there. And that seems to
work
very well.
What about garlic?
That's another thing you can do. You can take a clove of garlic and blend it up in a quart of water. Just put it in your blender, your Vitamix blender,
right,
or whatever blender you have, and blend it up, and then soak your feet in it, and that works really well. And for you lucky people, I guess not listening to this program, but maybe on tape later, that live close to the ocean, salt water is one of the better things you can do.
Mm.
But then again, we can do that too. I don't think we want to go on the Great Salt Lake, but we can get salt and make a salt solution and
soak
our feet in that. Yeah. So those are some things we can do. Now, one thing that we it's really important with athlete's foot is to clean really well, and so we'd want to use soap and water between the areas of the toes, and really important to make sure you dry off real carefully. Just take extra time and dry everything down there between the toes. And put on clean cotton socks. If you can get them uncolored, that's the best. You don't see them very often. But the dyes in the socks can aggravate the situation. You've already got an opening there that is going to allow toxins in. And so you've got dyes in your socks. They're going to get into the sores with the athlete's foot. Then you're going to compound the problem of the athlete's foot with these toxins, and they're going to get up into the system. So that's another thing we want to do. And, of course, they allow evaporation. If you use synthetic socks, then it keeps the moisture in there, and that can be a real problem.
Well, your feet are more comfortable in cotton socks anyway.
Mm-hmm. And it might be a good idea to change your shoes every day. In other words, have more than one pair of shoes so that they have a chance to dry out. You know, use a hair dryer or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
And so it's just a matter of just staying away from that moisture as much as possible. One of the things we've mentioned on the program before is Sensei between the toes. It's real tingly, and it hurts a little bit at first, but boy, it works really well.
Well, it doesn't hurt that bad.
Yeah, I like using Black Walnut and then the Sensei to kind of seal over. Or you could melt up some beeswax, you know, and when it's down cool enough, you can put that on, and boy, that really seals the moisture off, a little beeswax. Another interesting one. And some of these things that we're getting are from a book called Natural Remedies by Phyllis Austin. Any rate, some other things that she mentioned here, it was kind of interesting, that you can take cotton balls and soak them in honey and put that between your toes.
That seems really messy to me.
And I hope the ants don't crawl into your bed. Oh, yeah. One thing that they mention is expose the feet to sunshine at least 10 to 15 minutes a day.
Sunshine sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
How about shuffling in the grass?
One of the problems with that might be in picking something up off the grass.
Mm.
We kind of
like
want
a fertilizer or something.
Yeah. Oh boy, don't ever walk barefoot on someone's lawn that's just fertilized their lawn.
Right.
That could be a real disaster. Apple cider vinegar. Great idea. Take apple cider vinegar and clean off with apple cider vinegar and let it dry off, and that works really well. And then take a cut clove and rub on the area. That's going to hurt a little bit, but that works really well. Cornstarch, there's a lot of different things.
Cut clove of?
Garlic.
Okay.
Okay. One thing we've got to warn, though, is stay away from your over-the-counter athlete's foot remedies.
Why is that?
They find that 40% of the people react adversely to those.
Hmm.
One of the things you have to realize is that you've got open sores there, and whatever's in the remedy is going to get taken right up into your bloodstream. And so allergic reactions happen. Boric acid is readily absorbed into the system, and that's one of the things commonly used. And then for really tenacious athlete's foot, they've used a substance called, Grisafulvin. And they found that that causes cancer in animals.
Huh.
Now, in order to prove it in man, it's going to take 20 years, and no one's got that research, but it does cause cancer in animals. So I'd be real careful with the over-the-counter preparations.
Right.
Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, this is... A lot of people are bothered with edema in the lower part of their legs down around the ankles. What do you recommend for that? I'll hang up and let you answer.
Okay, thanks for your call. Edema in the lower part of the legs around the ankles.
Right.
One of the things that may be a problem there is the lack of exercise. Walking helps, you know, get circulation going. And a lot of circulation problems can be helped with exercise. And so exercising is one thing that can be done. What needs to happen is that there's stagnation there. That's why there's accumulation of water. It's stagnation in the area. So exercise is one of the better things that we can do. Also, we want to look at things that might be causing the circulation stop. I would stop crossing my legs, you know, and you know, especially right at the knee. You know, that tends to cut off circulation, so that's one thing that we'd want to do. Ginger foot baths would be a real good way of bringing circulation into the area. And, of course, taking ginger internally takes the blood out to all the capillaries and increases circulation. Cayenne pepper is a wonderful herb for increasing circulation. Garlic is another good one. It may be it could be caused from a lot of different things. One of the things we might want to look at is the heart. Maybe the heart's not strong enough, not pumping the blood far enough, because, you know, the ankles are a long ways away from the heart. And so getting circulation back up from that area might be a real problem. So we might want to look at the heart. And hawthorn is one of the best ones for the heart, and also cayenne pepper.
What about diuretics? Are diuretics necessary here?
Diuretics can be used also. And I would stay away from, you know,
commercial
chemical ones. You know, herbs are wonderful diuretics. Plain old parsley out of the store. Just eat a lot of parsley, and that tends to be a good diuretic. And what's nice about herbal diuretics is they're high in potassium. Now, isn't that one of the problems with taking diuretics is the loss of potassium? Well, look what nature provided. Nature provides high potassium in their diuretics. So do you think our master chemist knew what he was doing when he put these herbs on the face of the earth? Parsley is a wonderful herb.
Exactly.
And the juniper grows prolifically in Utah. I mean, you go down through taking a trip to southern Utah, and you got nothing but juniper down there. I mean, juniper is an herb that's absolutely free. You just go down and pick them off the trees.
Right.
Juniper is a wonderful herb for urinary tract problems and for retained water in the system. An underlying cause of this, we ought to give the phone numbers, and 224-1400.
And 570-1400 in Salt Lake, if you are able to pick us up in the Salt Lake area, we'd like to hear from you. We're only going to be on the air for a half an hour.
This is a short program this morning, so if you got some questions, don't lose out. Any rate, the underlying problem of poor circulation might be an accumulation of cholesterol and fatty acid, triglycerides and accumulations in the arteries, veins and arteries of the system. And so if that's the case, that's the underlying cause of the edema, then we're going to want to work on eliminating those from our diet and eliminating from our body. And the way that we would do that is by working on the liver. Now, doesn't that sound interesting? We want to work on the circulatory system, but we work on the liver.
And we were just saying that wheatgrass is real good for the liver as well.
Yeah, that's right. So that Spencer Masterson formula, wheatgrass formula 7 is really good. But real bitter herbs tend to have a real good effect on the liver. And barberry, gentian, even yarrow. Yarrow is a great one. That's a nice bitter one.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I kind of like that one. So those are really good. The thistles are really good. And I would imagine even this lousy thistle we have here in Utah that escaped, this bull thistle, that would probably have some effect too. But I don't know. It doesn't seem to be very medicinal. So good bitter herbs for the liver, and get the liver cleansed and tonified, and get it so it's making bile and able to break down the cholesterol and the triglycerides and such, and so that the circulatory system will actually release them to the liver, so the liver can emulsify them, turn them into bile or urine, and send them out through the bowel and the urinary tract. And that's how we get rid of accumulated cholesterol in the veins and arteries.
Right. Even though it sounds complicated, it really is fairly simple. Natural healing, just trying to get the body back in shape again, get the eliminative channels open, working, functioning properly, and the body tends to work towards wellness.
That's right. Well, we got to talk about our sponsors.
The Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm, and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. We're making sure that we're only going to be on the air for about a half an hour this morning. Because
we've only got 6 minutes.
6 minutes left. So if you have any questions, there's still 6 minutes to call in, 224-1400, if you're in the Utah County area. If you're in Salt Lake and can pick us up, we're 570-1400. That's a toll-free call, and we'd like to hear from you. Until then, we want to just remind everybody that we do have the aerobic riders. We are getting them back in because we have sold quite a few. So we are getting them back in. But we are offering a discount, $15 discount, if you say that you heard it on K-Star on May 7th for this week only. If you come in and talk to us that way, we'll make sure you get your $15 discount.
And that would be placing an order because they are out of
time. Right. Place the order and we'll get them in for you.
And Champion Juicer.
The Champion Juicer is always on sale for $199. And in July, we'll be ending our drawing and be able to pick the grand prize winner of a Champion Juicer and find out who that was. It'll be fun July 1st.
And why is the champion juicer such a good juicer?
Oh, it does so many things. It makes not only juice, it makes banana frozen treats, and it makes peanut butter.
Yeah, it does make a nice ice cream, doesn't it? I mean, we're not talking ice cream with dairy. We're talking something that tastes like ice cream, has a consistency of ice cream, but isn't.
Right.
And so we take our fruit, we freeze it in the freezer, and don't do as one of our friends did.
No,
we told him about how you run bananas through and stuff. He froze the bananas with the peels on.
Oh, really?
And he said it didn't taste very good. Well, I guess not with the peels on.
But, you know, the stores are going to have demonstrations. The Springville store demonstrates on Tuesday, and the Orm store demonstrates on Wednesday. So if you want to see how these machines work, go in on Tuesday to Springville or on Wednesday to Orm, and they'll be able to demonstrate the machines for you.
And I don't think anyone's put out a heavier-duty machine than that champion juicer. I mean, you can't hardly even if you try to mess it up, you can't clog it up. I mean, it is a wonderful unit.
It's a workhorse, that's for
sure. It's a real workhorse. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I had a question. My family's had an immune deficiency problem. My husband's had chronic fatigue, and I had the Epstein-Barr virus that is really out of whack for the last, like, 3 years. And our children are starting to show the same type of symptoms, the really tiredness and slouchiness, and there's been a product from a Genesis 2000 company, and they put, like, good bacteria, they say, into your stomach, and it's supposed to help your immune system. Have you heard of that?
That is probably one of the best ways to start working on immune problems.
Okay,
is to start reestablishing the flora in the intestines.
Okay.
One of the things that we have to realize here is that when you take an antibiotic or a drug and wipe out the flora in the intestines, you're thwarting thousands of years of evolution for our bodies. And these products that are on the market help. They provide one, maybe as many as 8 different strains of bacteria to replace in the colon. But when you wipe the flora out, you're wiping out hundreds of varieties of friendly flora.
So just not 1, 2, 4 or whatever.
Right. So where do we get the other 92?
Right. Where do we get the other 92?
One of the best places to get it is soured foods. Like sauerkraut.
Oh.
Raw sauerkraut is one of the best ways of getting that back in. The Asians had their kimchi, which is fermented vegetables.
Okay.
The Polynesians had their fermented product, poi. That was one way of getting fermented bacteria into the colon.
Is there a good herb that's available?
Well, no. As far as the herbs are concerned, they don't provide the flora that you need. Well, they do some because of just being plants. You do get flora from raw plants. There are herbs that will help diminish the yeast, and that would be black walnut, golden seal, garlic, powdiarco, burdock. Some of those seem to work very well.
May I ask you another question? My dad just had a Roto-Rooter job down at the hospital at Utah Valley. Yeah, they go in and actually cut the plaque out of his arteries. And I heard it's a new procedure, but I was wondering what we could do to keep the fats from reestablishing them.
Well, it's also a very expensive procedure.
It's
now
$20,000.
$20,000.
Yeah, it was $18,999.
Isn't that amazing? $20,000. And you know, we don't tend to bat an eye about it because the insurance pays for it.
Well, he hoped.
But then we all have to pay for insurance, and
that's
so.
Right. That is just terrible.
You know, some of the politicians right now are saying all these things about, you know, we've got the best healthcare system in the world.
Right.
Well, we've got the most expensive, but that doesn't necessarily mean the best.
Right, that's true.
And so instead of a Roto-Rooter job, basically we would do what we mentioned on the program before, is we'd work on the liver,
uh-huh.
Get the toxins out of the system,
uh-huh.
And let the body handle the cleansing. And it will. The body will.
Well, even if it was already, it was totally plugged from like 2 inches. And he had been, you know, building this up the last couple of years. Could he have...
Yeah, no matter how bad it is, we can reverse that right away.
Awesome. What do you take?
Well, first of all, we have bitter herb, like a barberry, to work on the liver. We work on the bowels, a good herbal laxative. Probably the best one on the market is that herbal LB out of the herb shop.
Okay.
We work on the urinary tract. Their Junipars is really good.
Gee, so you work on every system almost.
Well, that's right.
See, once the channels of elimination are open, then the arteries and everything else can find a way to dump and eliminate.
All right. You guys are awesome. I listen to you every Saturday, and I'm really into herbs. I've taken them for the last 5 years, and they've really helped me feel better.
Well, thanks for your call.
And I come to your Springville store all the time. I
good.
Love it.
Okay. Well, good.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. Bye-bye. Thanks for your call. Well, it was a short program today, and we will be back next week. And so until next week, be happy, have a healthier you.